This afternoon, we're going to look at some hard words from the Lord and how we deal with that. Please give your attention now to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now the Lord promises us in Isaiah 55 and regarding His Word, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Our prayer is that God would bless the reading and the hearing and the application of His perfect and holy Word. Amen. Well, we are coming together this afternoon to look more closely at the first three verses in the book of Jonah. And I want you to see here this afternoon that what is communicated here to us is communicated many times in the Word of God. In fact, in many ways, this truth is the most profound truth in all of the Bible. That God reveals Himself to man. That's a truth that we very much take for granted, that God would reveal Himself. And that truth encompasses the entirety of the Scripture, because the entirety of the Scripture is God revealing Himself to us. And yet that is really what we are reading here in the first verse of Jonah. The Word came to Jonah. That's what we are taught here in these words, is that God reveals Himself to us. So let's stop and reflect on that very great truth today, that God's Word comes to Jonah. We will find then that the rest of the book really is a working out of how Jonah responds to the Word that is given. And in that, there are many, many applications to the child of God. In the Westminster Confession, chapter 1, we hear about how the Word of God is given. "Although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, the wisdom, and the power of God as to leave men inexcusable, yet are they not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and of His will which is necessary in salvation. Therefore, it pleased the Lord at sundry times and in diverse manners to reveal Himself and to declare that His will unto the church. And afterward, for the better preserving and propagating of the truth, and for the more sure establishment and comfort of the church against the corruption of the flesh and the malice of Satan and of the world, to commit the same holy unto writing, which maketh the Holy Scripture to be most necessary. Those former ways of God revealing His will unto His people being now ceased." Now that particular selection of the confession covers the history of God's revelation to man. At one time, God did reveal Himself to His church in a different way, in sundry times and in diverse manners, to declare His will unto the church. But there was a time when God afterward, you notice a couple of reasons are given, "for the better preserving and propagating of the truth and more sure establishment and comfort of the church, against the corruption of the flesh and the malice of Satan, to commit the same holy into writing. So there was a point to where the Word of God was written down, and there is a transition that takes place. Now what we want to do today is to look at the book of Jonah, specifically verses 1 and 2, not as a dry observation from an obscure book of the Bible that is only relevant to Old Testament prophets who happen to get swallowed by giant fish. No, the book of Jonah is relevant to all men. It's a proclamation not only to God's people, but to all people. And in this particular verse of the Bible, we read of the Word coming, and we also will know from the Word of God that there are certain responses that are expected. We're going to look at a couple of those responses today as we have time. The Word of the Lord came to Jonah. Has great relevance for every Christian. And the reason why is that the Word of the Lord comes to all of us today. The Word of the Lord comes to all of us in a different form. It comes in a different way, but it still comes to us. To Jonah, it came verbally with a specific command that he was to perform. Well, that message to Jonah now comes to us written, and with a general observation of how we ought to respond to the Word of God. So the Christians should sit up and pay attention when we come to verse 1 of the book of Jonah. Because you and I must decide then how we will respond to the Word of God. When the Word comes to you, you respond. And we'll look at the different responses. But even choosing not to respond is actually responding to the Word. We want to look at the Word of God coming to Jonah for that purpose. We want to see in verse 1, though, that the Word came to Jonah doesn't tell the whole story. What Word comes to Jonah? Verse 2 will show us a different truth, and one that is also very applicable to Christians. Verse 2 will tell us, in fact, that these weren't just any words. These were very difficult words. These were hard words from God. Now the task that was put before our prophet is a seemingly impossible task. What Jonah is asked to do, he's told to go alone to the most wicked people in all the earth. Go cry against them. Not go be their friend, but cry against them. Go outside of your comfort zone, probably to a place you've never been before, and probably to a place that you will die, and cry out against the most wicked and powerful people in all the world. Now friends, those are some hard words from God. Those are some very difficult and hard words from God. Now, the prophet, as we have discovered in looking ahead, we skipped ahead last week, and we saw that our prophet actually really understands the nature of God pretty well. Jonah is pretty bright. Jonah understands God more so than I think what a lot of people want to give him credit for. From the very beginning, Jonah tells us that he suspects that God will be merciful to those horribly wicked people in Nineveh. And so the Word of God coming to Jonah, those difficult words, when he receives those words, Jonah interprets those words as being hard and as being unacceptable. And instead of submitting to God or pleading with God in prayer for to have more knowledge and understanding of what God had said, or behaving in a way that was respectful to God, Jonah did what we all remember Jonah for. He ran from what God commanded. I want to talk to you today about how Christians respond to the Word that comes from God. There is one proper response to the Word, but there are many improper responses. There's one proper response, but many improper responses. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. It's very often that we take for granted how blessed we are that we have the words of God. We hold the entirety of God's revelation to man in our hand. And we have many copies of the revelation of God to man that we often put on a table or on a shelf. And we don't spend as much time as we ought examining these precious and beautiful words that come to us. Well, if we were able to hold fast to those words that God gives to us, if we were able to store them within our minds and teach them to our children and sing them as they are given to us in the book of the Psalms and treasure them above all things in life, imagine the great blessing that would come upon God's people. And we never lose sight of that precious and unspeakable gift that we have in the Word of God. We always treasure the Word of God. That really is the central message of what we want to accomplish today. When we hear the Word of God, the words that come from the Lord, let us give thanks and acknowledge that these words come to us as a great blessing from God. God doesn't have to reveal Himself to us, but He does. When we hear the word of the Lord, that word teaches us of the love of God. It teaches of His perfections, of the wonder of His power. And it teaches us to humble ourselves before His presence and to bow down and submit ourselves to Him. When we hear the word of the Lord, it teaches us of our sin, of our fallen nature. It teaches us that we have no hope for salvation apart from a mediator, a Messiah, one who will rescue us, one who will bring us back and restore us. When we hear the word of the Lord, it teaches us of God's covenant love toward His people and that He will never leave us or forsake us. When we hear the word of the Lord, we are then given hope and we know that there is a higher purpose in life and to our suffering or to our pain. We have peace and we are blessed whenever we hear the word of the Lord. I want you to see, we went through a lot of things right there that the word of the Lord does for us. Well, all of those things are communicated to us in these first few words of Jonah chapter 2. Now, you're going to have to do your homework there and go back and look at that. But in the first few words of Jonah chapter 2, all of those truths are communicated. The fact that God will never leave us or forsake us is communicated there. But you don't see that because if you don't connect Jonah 1:1 with the rest of the scriptures, you may not know that the word of the Lord coming to you is a blessing and an evidence of God's covenant love toward you. You don't see always in what God communicates all of these truths. But in fact, all of those truths are there, that you are sinful, that you are fallen, that you are dependent, that God is a covenant God, and that you are His covenant people. All of that's in those few words. But Jonah didn't see that. We confess that we don't value the words that come from God because we don't see all of these truths on every page, when in fact they're there. And Prophet Jonah doesn't see these blessings that are there before him. He only sees the hard words. But in the hard words are communicated God's love, God's faithfulness, that you are His people and that He will not leave, that He has a purpose for you. What is the proper response to the Word of God? Are we blessed today to have a confession and to have catechisms that show us and how we are to esteem and to value the Word of God? You'll see that there in your handout, in your worship order. We're going to read through the larger catechism question 157 and 160. So look there, please. This is basically what Jonah should have done when he heard the Word of God. And consequently, this is what you should do when you hear the Word of God. Question 157. How is the Word of God to be read? Now, as I read through this answer, I want you to recognize the many things here that Jonah did not do. The Holy Scriptures are to be read with a high and reverent esteem of them, with a firm persuasion that they are the very Word of God, and that He only can enable us to understand them, with desire to know, believe, and obey the will of God revealed in them, with diligence and attention to the matter and the scope of them, with meditation, application, self-denial, and prayer. Did you notice Jonah did none of those things when the Word of God came to him? Look at the larger catechism question 160. What is required of those who hear the Word preached? It is required of those who hear the Word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the Scriptures. Receive the truth with faith and love and meekness and readiness of mind as the Word of God. Meditate and confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. What's interesting is that Jonah did none of these things when he heard the Word of God, but Jonah was a preacher, and Jonah was supposed to preach to Nineveh. And so now, none of the people in Nineveh can do this to the Word of God. Look at what a great sin it was for Jonah to fail to preach the Word of God. All of these things did not happen in Nineveh. Now, of course, we know the rest of the story, and they will eventually happen in Nineveh. But through Jonah's negligence of his duties, the Word of God was not preached. Now, imagine what it would be like to be without the Word of God. Imagine what it would be like to have no revelation from heaven to you or to your family or to your nation. We'd be left in our sin. We'd be left without Christ. And we have many in our day who have never heard the Word of God preached or proclaimed. They've never heard the wonderful work of Jesus Christ. And there were many in Jonah's day who knew nothing about God's Word. Nineveh is actually a pretty good example. When the Word comes, it brings life and truth and purpose and salvation. I want to encourage you today, Christian, to examine the many ways that the Word of God comes to you in your everyday life. You have the Word of God in tremendous abundance. When these many ways are identified, when you take inventory, you can think through the many ways that you have the Word of God. I want to encourage you to take full advantage of the Word of God that comes in your life, and then to act upon the Word as God commands. If we rightly value the Word of God, we will use the Word when it comes to us. It's really the first test of our valuing the words of God. If we take the words of God and we use them, then we are valuing them, we are loving them. But the one who will not use the words of God, could it be they have very little value in your life if you will not use the Word of God? The things that have great value to us are those things that we hang to, those things that we hold on to, those things that we treasure, those things we value. Those are the things that we use. If you were thinking about the many ways that you have the Word of God in your life, you probably had a little difficulty doing the inventory. You have the Word of God written. You have the Word of God spoken. You have it on recordings. You have it on your computer and on your phone. You have the Word of God preached to you twice a week. You have the Word of God taught in our church as well. You have the Word of God all around you. In fact, in such great abundance, you probably have difficulty making the list. How do you use the Word of God when it comes to you? Do you treasure the words of God? Do you use the words of God? Do you store them in your memory? Do you put forth effort in your use of them and in the making application of them? Do you read the Word of God daily? What kinds of things could you do to improve your use of the words of God? What about when you hear the Word of God preached? Do you pay attention? Do you make notes? Do you make applications? Or we made the mention last week, when the Word of God is preached, is this a time to sleep or a time to play? And I think our children should know that there is something that is happening whenever the Word of God comes to us. When it is being preached, that is the Word coming to you. Make application of the Word of God. What things do you do in your life on a daily basis to improve the words that come from God? Do you study them? Do you meditate on them? And for the one who would say, "I'm too busy," well, if that's the case, it would suggest an immediate change in your life, because you're showing that the Word of God is not a priority within your life. If the Word is neglected in your life, if there's some proclamation of the Word of God, some delivery of the Word of God in your life that you're not paying attention to or making application to, then you're not honoring the Word as you ought. In comparison, the man who puts the Word of God above his busy schedule will be much less likely to run to Tarshish when God says to go to Nineveh. You see, there's a training that takes place. And if we would be a people who would neglect the words of God, then we would be a people who will neglect the hard words when they come from God. Can Jonah's improper use of the Word in the first three verses of Jonah chapter 1, can this improper use help us to be more diligent in our use of the Word? I certainly believe so. And I certainly feel convicted as I am studying through this book of the Bible that I don't use the words as diligently as I could use them. The application of the book of Jonah in the life of the Christian is of great benefit today. As we consider the hard words from God, let's look at a few of the reasons why we think that the words of God are too hard for us to accept or to believe. There's a reason why we think the words of God are hard today. Now, we considered last week a few of the reasons why Jonah rejected the hard words from God. Let's look at some of the reasons why you and I tend to label certain portions of the Word of God as being hard. We only have time to look at a few. Let's look at three. Look at verse 2 of Jonah chapter 1. Here are the hard words to Jonah. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Now let's make some observations of this short section of God's Word. First of all, very often, whenever we hear the Word of God, we perceive that there's some kind of a lack of truth in the Word of God. We perceive that there is a lack of truth. When we hear the words of God, we may believe that there's a problem with the Word. And the most basic reason why the Word of God seems so hard to so many people today is that they simply don't believe what it says. For Jonah, did God really mean to send this message to me? Does God really want me to go to Nineveh? Well, he didn't say when. Maybe he meant later. Maybe he meant eventually go to Nineveh. Did he really mean Nineveh? Maybe there's another place called Nineveh. You see, eventually we start to try to reason through and doubt the Word of God so that we no longer even believe what God commands us to do. Even Christians ask at times, are the words of God true? Do they apply to me? For many, immediately, the Word of God, for whatever reason, is insufficient. There's some kind of a problem with it. Some reason why its reality or its truthfulness is to be questioned. There may be a command there for us, but we don't really want to obey that command. And so we'll reason through reasons why it's not true or it no longer applies. Well, the perceived problems that we have with the Word, again, these three that we'll look at, they're really not problems with the Word at all. In fact, there is a corresponding real and actual problem in the heart for all of the imagined problems that we perceive in the Word. The problem here is not with the Word, it's with Jonah. Lack of faith is really the problem with our struggling with the truthfulness of God's Word. With faith from God, it doesn't matter if the Word before us tells us that the sun stands still in the sky. We, by faith, believe it. If the Word tells us that a man can survive in the heart of a fiery furnace, we, by faith, believe. If the Word of God tells us that a young man killed a giant with a sling, we, by faith, believe. If the Word tells us that a giant fish swallowed a man alive, we by faith believe. If the Word tells us that a virgin can conceive, or that a 90-year-old woman can conceive, we by faith believe. There are no problems with the Word of God. When Jonah is told to go to Nineveh, faith should bring him to believe that a journey to Nineveh was the good and the right thing to do. You see, if we have a true faith of the Scriptures and that they are true, then the hard words from God are not all that hard. We believe them. We accept them. And though they may require much from us, we will trust them. These grand and epic stories of the Bible, one of which is here in the book of Jonah, they're not a problem for us because we have faith and we believe them. There's not a problem with the book of Jonah. And there's not a problem with Jonah being told to go to Nineveh. With no faith, these examples become fairy tales and the Word of God becomes unbelievable. And to the one who's commanded to obey without faith, the words of God are hard. They bind and they confuse and they trouble us. But not to the one with faith. In actuality, even with faith, the words are hard, and we can struggle with the words from God. Sometimes the hard words from God come in the form of a hard doctrine. And there are hard doctrines taught in the Scripture that we have to wrestle with, that we struggle to wrap our brains around and to understand and make application of. Some see the doctrines of predestination and election to be hard and very difficult to digest, and they don't want to believe those doctrines to be true, and so they reject those doctrines as being too hard. But in fact, what a blessing that these people miss out on because they don't want to see these doctrines in the Scriptures. Very often, when a doctrine is rejected in the Bible, it's usually replaced with a man-centered doctrine that's easier to digest. When in fact, the doctrine of God's sovereignty and the doctrines of predestination and election are hard for us to understand, but they should not be hard for us to believe as true. These precious doctrines of grace, when they're not believed, they're replaced by the shallow and unbiblical inventions of Pelagianism and Arminianism that have no place in the Word of God. I do remember, and I've shared this with you before, when I first heard of God's sovereignty and of God's sovereign choice in the salvation of souls, in the doctrines of predestination and election, I was angry. I was angry because I was ignorant of God's Word and I had no faith. It wasn't because there was a problem with the Word. The problem was with me. That's a very real truth for you to realize today as a Christian and you read the Word of God. The problem is not on the page. The problem is in your heart. Know that when you come to the Word of God. Secondly, not only is there a perceived lack of truth in the Word, but there's a perceived lack of relevance to the Word. Now, this particularly applies to the book of Jonah. But some people might think when they read Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3, they may come away from the story thinking, wow, Jonah made a really bad decision. He made a mess of things and he refused to obey God's command to go to Nineveh. And that could be the end of it. Even if they believe the truth of the story, they believe it has no relevance in their life. But what they fail to realize is that these three verses are a standing testimony for all men everywhere to rightly use the Word of God. The Word of God is always relevant in our lives. It will always be relevant. Often, in addition to having very little faith, one of the reasons why the Word of God may seem to be irrelevant to the life of the Christian is because we show so little effort in our studies of the Word of God. If a Christian can read the book of Jonah and find no points of application, there is a lack of faith. But there's also very likely that there's a lack of effort in studying the Word. But there are many applications to you and in your life from this story in God's Word. Thomas Watson says, if the Scripture be of divine inspiration, then be exhorted to study the Scriptures. It is a copy of God's will. Be Scripture men, Bible Christians. In the book of God are scattered many truths as so many pearls. Search the Scriptures in the vein of silver. This blessed book will fill your head with knowledge and your heart with grace. God wrote the two tables with His own fingers. And if God took pains to write, well may we take pains to read. It contains the marrow and the quintessence of religion. The Scripture is a rock of diamonds, a mystery of piety. The lips of Scripture have grace poured into them. The Scripture speaks of faith, self-denial, and all the graces which, as a chain of pearl, adorn a Christian. The Scripture excites to holiness. It treats of another world. It gives a prospect of eternity. Oh, then, search the Scripture. Make the Word familiar to you. Never think that the book of Jonah has no relevance to the Christian. Just in the first verse, you are challenged in how you use the Word of God that comes to you as a Christian. Thirdly, we find the common mistake that folks make, the common problem that they believe is in the Word. First, we saw that there was a perceived lack of truth in the Word. Second, a perceived lack of relevance of the Word. And thirdly, there's a perceived lack of details in the Word. A perceived lack of details. And don't think that this is one that you skip over, because I know I fall into this error. I know you do as well. Some may come to the Word of God and be displeased that it says so little about what they want to hear. Notice God only reveals in Hebrew about 10 words to Jonah. 10 words change Jonah's entire life, map his future, change his family, and probably mean his death. He doesn't know that at this point. But they could change the entire future of the world. Because with the armies of Nineveh being converted, that changes drastically what's happening in Israel. 10 words. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of detail in those 10 words. Go to Nineveh. They're bad. Here's what you say. But when we read the Word of God and it doesn't seem applicable to our lives, we think there's not enough details there. What is the reaction of Jonah when he doesn't believe there are enough details in the Word? Disobeys it. That's an application to you as a Christian. Don't be so caught up in what isn't there, but obey what is. God had much more intended that He did not reveal to Jonah. One that we mentioned last week was that God was prolonging Nineveh's attack on Israel to give a longer time for the wicked men of Israel to repent. Don't assume that you know the mind of God and His divine plan for tomorrow. Simply obey what you are commanded. In fact, the lack of details that we often imagine about the Word of God that comes to us is really just a lack of obedience on our part. Jonah was given a specific command. Actually, if you notice from the text, it's one that could have been easily obeyed. It wasn't really hard to understand. It wasn't particularly complicated. The lack of details from God should be irrelevant to us. Why does a God who sees all and knows all and is sovereignly controlling all, why is He bound by the details that He gives to you? He's in control. We're not in control. When we press for more information than what God is willing to give, often we're looking for reasons to disobey. And I think that's what's happening with Jonah, because you saw last time there's a little baggage going on behind the scene. Jonah has some trouble with God showing mercy to Nineveh. That's usually the case with us as well. There's a reason why we don't want to obey God. And the lack of details in the Word of God become a problem to us. And all of a sudden, the words become hard. Christian, obey what God commands. Obey it quickly. Don't wait for clarification. Don't expect 100 words from God when He gives you 10. Don't see the Word of God as inadequate. Don't complain about the details that you think you don't have, but instead rejoice in the Word that you are given. Run to obedience. Run to Nineveh. Run to where God commands you to go. And from our perspective today, looking back over a few thousand years, when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah should have hit the ground running to obey God. The details don't matter. What God commands matters. And the same truth applies to you and I today. Immediate obedience is a blessing to the child of God. So for us today, we do not believe there is a lack of truth in the Word of God. We do not believe that there is a lack of application in the Word of God. And we do not believe that there is a lack of details in the Word of God. Instead, we believe the Word of God to be perfect, inerrant, infallible, and inspired. So that when it falls upon our cold and dull hearts, we are changed. And we should long for the Word of God to change us. At Jonah's long and unpleasant journey that we will take with him is the result of his finding these faults in the Word of God. The true fault was with Jonah. And this is a supreme benefit for the Christian to make application from the Word of God this week. You will be reading the Word of God this week and you will be making these applications. Let's look at the change that comes upon the heart whenever the Word of God comes as we close. One of the great blessings that we have in being exposed to the Word of God is that the Word does change us. It changes us. And we should submit to the Word of change when the Word comes to us. And this, in fact, is one of the beautiful things about singing the Psalms. You ever notice when you're singing the Psalms that there's a specific path set before you when you sing the Psalms? You are described in a certain way that doesn't always make you sound so good. You are bound to change with the Word. Whereas if we weren't singing the inspired words of God, if we didn't like the words that came to us, we could just change them. But that's one of the beauties of singing Psalms. They change us. Luke 8:15. But the ones that fell in the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it and bear fruit with patience. You know the story there. The seed that falls in different kinds of ground. May our hearts today be the good ground for the Word to fall upon. James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. May we never be the forgetful hearer of the word. So all through the word of God, there are good and positive encouragements for you to obey God's word. We will change to conform to the word. And this is what's so valuable about the book of Jonah. The story of Jonah actually shows how a simple command of God ought to be obeyed. And the point is then, if we're not conforming to the simple words of God, we're not treasuring them. We're not making application of them. And we might find that if we wait long enough in our obedience, if we make enough excuses, if we find enough problems with the word of God, will bring the displeasure of our Father upon us. You don't have to take a fast ship to Tarshish to avoid Nineveh. All you have to do is do nothing. Nothing is really no better than Tarshish. Let's be very careful about how we make these applications of the Word of God in our lives. And let's see the benefit that we have from the book of Jonah. Because from the very first verse onward, the second verse is the disobedience. And the entire rest of the book is what happens when we disobey God. The Word of God requires a response to us today. The Word of God requires a response from you. And if you don't believe the Word of God, if you don't understand the Word of God as it comes to you, you think there's a problem with the Word of God, or there's a perceived lack of details, or that there is a perceived lack of truth, then you are bound to obey it. You are not allowed to disobey the Word of God. And it would call anyone who hears our words today to submit to the Word of God, to obey the Word of God, and to see that that is where life and salvation is to be found. If we love the Word of God, we will fight for the Word of God. We will want to defend the Word of God from those things and those people that threaten the Word of God in our lives. The Word of God gives us an opportunity to obey. In fact, Psalm 1 and Psalm 119 give us a good example of the proper response to the Word of God. In Psalm 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. In Psalm 119, 97, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. Do these words describe your use of the Word of God? Or does Jonah 1, verses 1 and 2, describe your use of the Word of God? You are challenged today by the Word of God to properly respond. Now let's be reminded as we close that the Word of God comes to us in several different ways today. It comes through the written Word. It comes through the inspired, inerrant Bible. It comes to us twice per week in preaching the Word from the pulpit of our church. It comes to us in the teaching that is offered in our church. It comes in private worship. It comes in family worship. And it comes in corporate worship. And if you're neglecting any of these forms of receiving the Word of God today, then we're not treating the Word as it should be treated. And this book of the Bible is a warning to what will happen whenever we neglect the Word of God. All of us fall short in honoring the Word as it comes to us and in prizing the Word of God and treasuring the Word of God. Thomas Watson encourages us. He says, be encouraged to prize the Word written. David valued the Word more than precious gold. What would the martyrs have given for a leaf of the Bible? The Word is the field where Christ, the pearl of great price, is hidden. In this sacred mine we dig, not for a wedge of gold, but a weight of glory. The Scripture is the chart and the compass by which we sail to the New Jerusalem. Let's be reminded today that God at times communicates hard things to us. He will ask hard things of us. He will push us beyond our comfort zone. He may ask us to go to Nineveh. But be determined today that you will respond to these words in the proper way when they come to you. Be determined today that you will treasure the words of God. At the beginning of the book of Jonah, we should all see what happens when we don't treasure the words of God. Instead of running to Nineveh, we instead choose to stumble to Tarshish. Instead of pleasing God with our obedience, we become objects of discipline from our Father. And instead of immediately obeying God, we endure long trials and sufferings because of our disobedience. My friends, today I encourage you to find in this precious book of the Bible a long encouragement to treasure the words of God. The labor that we have before us is not only to treasure the Word of God, but to also labor to remove those things that keep us from treasuring the Word of God. Many of the things in our lives, they keep us from this worthy goal. They distract us, not only our busy lives, but our own pride or our own ignorance. Let's be mindful of the rare and precious jewel that we have at our disposal, the words of God. And let's use them in our lives. The great blessing that we have from the Word of God, ultimately, is that we learn of Christ. And we learn of our salvation in Him. He is our Redeemer. And He is everything. My friends, He is plainly and gloriously revealed in every corner of the Bible, on every page. And so when we neglect the Word, we neglect Christ. And how impoverished we are when we neglect Christ. Let's treasure the Word. Please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to truly treasure your words. And we confess to you that we often will allow almost anything to stand in the way of receiving your words. Grant to us, we pray, a greater love for your word that comes to us. And grant that we might place it above our own words as the top priority in our lives. Grant that we might be willing to forsake all to hear these precious words. Give us wisdom to know your word and how to apply it. And thank you for sustaining us and being patient with us. And saving us, even when we neglect it and don't attend to it as we ought. Press us onward, we pray, to greater service and greater obedience and greater attention to your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.